is the Aim Shabazz of the Chest Drum. We're in Turin, Italy. This is the rest day. It's about maybe 25 minutes to 3, and a lot of the players and delegations are out touring Italy. I'm still here working with some other journalists, but I'm taking a break, and I have with me Grandmaster Alexander Baborin, who is actually based out of Ireland, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And he does a chess newsletter, which, is it still a daily newsletter?
It's still a daily newsletter, and I hope to make a weekly edition, but that edition will not replace the daily version, because I think we've got quite a devoted following. You know, those people who are interested in daily thing, they sign up for it, so I wouldn't drop it. But I'm hopeful to be able to add another version of the newsletter, which will be like easy on people's, you know, time and resources, so it will be a weekly version.
Now, tell us this, why did you start a newsletter? You're a grandmaster, chess grandmaster, and you know, it takes time to compose a newsletter and a daily newsletter, what was your motivation behind this?
Well, I had a brainstorming session. I was going to, at that time, I was going for a little training session in Denmark, and I always have this ideas on the plane. Maybe it's the altitude, but I think it was at that time free booze, you know. So, and I just, at that time I was already writing a column for an Irish newspaper, which was a weekly column, and I'm still writing it. But I thought that if I had to write something every day, would I have enough material? And I answered that question yes, because there is so much going on. I mean, for general public it's different, but for chess players you can always take an interesting game, a position to solve, an interview. So I thought that there would be no problem to fill it every day. And at that time I was, like everyone else, visiting lots of websites, but I thought it wouldn't be great if it would come to me in the mailbox and all the news and already digested, so everyone in a way once in a while assembles it for himself. But if you get like a few guys who can do it for thousands of people, that certainly makes some sense. And of course the big issue was whether people would you know, be willing to pay for this product, and it wasn't disappointing, so it's still going, you know, strong, and I hope that one way it will expand even further.
Now, I have read some of the newsletters. They're very well done, and also I do a chess website, and it's a lot of work, but doing a daily newsletter, what are some of your biggest challenges?
Well, to stay up till 2 in the morning and make sure you're not typing complete nonsense, because sometimes, honestly, I'm typing things and I'm falling asleep, and after, you know, I wake up, get another coffee, and I just read it again. Did I make some silly mistake there? But, you know, so far so good. The biggest challenge, I guess, was to change my own attitude. I'm kind of typical self-employed person, you know, everything I do is good, and, you know, I can do everything better than other people, and working with other people on this project actually helped me to change this attitude. And I learned the methods of delegating, and I'm very pleased with the way things worked out. So I have other people working with me, and they're really good. Everyone has his own strong points, you know, like somebody likes to analyze, somebody likes to, you know, like news, and we all have our, you know, weak and strong points. And that was actually one of the biggest lessons I learned, and it's one of the pleasures. So challenges, the biggest challenge at the moment is to get the readership up, because I've been focusing on the product but not on the promotion. So I'm not really that good a businessman. I guess I have to learn this part.
Well, let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about the Olympiad and just some chess news. First of all, what are your impressions of the Olympiad thus far?
Well, okay, there are different sides to it. I think from the organization point of view, it's pretty successful. I mean, we have this fantastic venue, and the Olympic Village is pretty nice and adequate, and food is pretty okay. So I think I would rate this as one of the best Olympiads I've been to. The first time I was at the Olympiad was 1994. It's, of course, it's a great thing for people to see each other. I mean, there are teams who are very serious about their chess, but they're a minority, and most people here just to play some chess, to meet with other people, to, you know, it's a great social event, and from that point of view it hasn't been disappointing. When we think about what will happen on the tournament boards, on the chess boards, I think in the men's Olympiad Russia looks very solid. I cannot pick a clear runner-up, maybe Armenia, and I haven't been watching the ladies so much, but my impression is that Chinese team is a bit weaker than usual, and there are lots of teams which are very close to each other, so there could be big upsets and surprises.
Okay, in terms of the political spectrum, as you well know, there's elections that will take place in next week. You have two parties, the Chess Fidelity and you have the Right Move Party. Have you had a chance to gauge the parties, and do you have any opinions about the tickets? And perhaps if you want to give your endorsement, you may do so.
Okay. Well, I was always very critical of the FIDE administration, pretty much from, you know, day one when Kirsten Ilimzhinov got into power. I just really personally dislike the idea that one man can just walk with his millions and kind of buy a chess federation for himself, a big international sports organization. I think he had some agenda, and it may be good for chess in the short term. It could have been good at that moment, but I just think it's unsustainable. You know, we should not rely on one private individual and his finance to carry forward FIDE. So I was always very critical, and certain things didn't make me happy. For example, this change to shorter time controls, and basically total lack of respect to professional chess players because they're not listened to, and a lot of manipulation and outright lies. For example, I was in New Delhi when they were doing some questioning, you know, who was in favor of what time control, and they completely twisted the results. Most people said they wanted to stick to the classical time control, but they said that, you know, their opinion was different and they shortened it. So I have no trust in the current FIDE administration, particularly those below the president, and I am really hopeful that the Right Move campaign will be successful and that they will win. I'm not naive to think that there will be no problems after this. I'm sure they will have their shortcomings as well. But I think it's about time that the present administration steps aside, and they had time to do certain things. They failed on many counts, and now they're talking about getting a few years to carry on things they could have done already. You know, I think you get a chance, and if you fail, you should be voted out, and I hope that this is what will happen. But of course, with it's very unclear. I think it's going to be very close.
Now, saying that, there was a match that has been scheduled between Veselin Toporov and Vladimir Kramnik, and a lot of people are still questioning whether this is actually going to happen. Let's say in event it does happen, what would be your impressions on such a match?
Well, first, I personally don't put so much emphasis on the on the importance of this match. It's not like this match is going to solve all problems we have in the chess world. For example, I teach in schools, and for me, it's more important that chess has a good image in this society, that, you know, it's seen as a kind of a professional sport, and that match is not going to change much. People probably would not even know about it, you know, people in the street, given the current climate. So I think it's a desperate attempt to gain some popularity on the Kirsten Ilimzhinov side to put money forward and, you know, try to arrange a match like this. Well, if that happens, if that match will happen, which I think probably will, I think it will be interesting for chess, but I don't think it solves all the problems. For example, now we have possibly Topalov or Jabov match, and we have total mess with the candidate matches, so I don't think the situation will somehow settle down. I mean, it will be an interesting event. As a chess fan myself, I will be delighted to see some, you know, good chess. I think the chances are probably about equal. I mean, right now I think Topalov is a stronger player, but Kramnik has very good record against him, so it could be just a difficult challenge, you know, for Topalov himself. So, but I don't think it's such a crucial thing, you know, for chess. It's just part of the overall picture.
Now this is closing out the interview. I wanted to ask you this question. It's kind of a loaded question, but do you think Garry Kasparov is retired for good?
I think so, yeah, because I think for once he's a very ambitious guy and he achieved everything he could achieve, and he probably would fear that if he decides to get back into the game and he will not succeed in his attempt, that would be seen as a letdown, you know, of his image and his previous achievements in chess. So I'd say he probably will not get back into competitive chess. That's my feeling. I mean, I remember what, I think he said it in one of the interviews about Fischer Spassky 1992, that he said he wished that that never happened because there was a nice legend and suddenly it was kind of destroyed. So I guess he would be careful not to do the same mistake himself unless he really is, you know, pressed to come back, you know, for whatever reason.
Well, those are the questions I have. If you can, tell the Chessdrum audience about how to get to your site and maybe a little bit more about it.
Well, it's that easy. So all you need to do is to go to www.chesstoday.net. It's not .com because .com was taken by non-chess site, .net. And this website is more like a business card. It just tells who we are and what we do, and you can pick a few samples. Like, you can download for free a few samples of our newsletter. It comes out daily in three different files. The first one is PDF, which people print out, and most people just print it in the morning. They take it and they might, you know, read it on a train or maybe during coffee break. Then we also have PGN and CBV files for those who want to, you know, play through games on the computer. I think it's a very good quality product. We have, if I would think, out of top 20 in the world, half of them receive it, and they're very supportive, like Vishanan gets it, and Aronian gets it, and Peter Swidley, and many others. So if they can benefit from this, I think a lot of chess fans can do the same.
Well, those are the questions I have, and I'd like to thank you, Grandmaster Boren, for taking the time out for the interview.
Okay, my pleasure. Okay. All right, okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, see you around.
This is Daim Shbaz from the Chess Brown signing off.